What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Or so they say. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Happy Wednesday to you. 2:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Setting sail towards 6 o'clock and the start of tonight's Scraby Chronicles. Quickly, touch on a nice victory by the Aztecs last night. Marlon Byrd used to play for the Rangers.
That's my former teammate.
Marlon Byrd, yeah.
Miles Byrd,
yeah. That's what happens when you've been doing sports for so long. I mean, some of these names run together on you. I'm sorry to say. Miles, yeah, what a game he had last night. 25 points. Aztecs win comfortably over Colorado State. Their 67th win in a row over a quad three or four opponent. That's a pretty good streak. They're also 35-4 now in a game following a loss. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But, guys, today is the official beginning of the watch party. Roki Sasaki, the window has opened for him to make his announcement. And, Scraby, there are still about 9 minutes left for the Padres to take us up on the offer we made on the air yesterday, which was to have Roki come on the show and make the announcement right here on Gwynn and Chris.
Absolutely.
So we're waiting. We thought about 2:10 today would be a really good time to do that.
I'm watching the hotline.
So if the Padres, you know, any of those guys over there, Danny Sanchez or Craig or...
Darren, JP.
Yeah, JP, if you got Roki there and he's ready to make the decision, just call. We'll put you right on the air. I mean, why announce it just to a few people in the office when you can announce it to the burgeoning wide audience of Gwynn and Chris?
I mean, there is something to having a secret that big that everybody wants to know in your hands, like the power of that, of having that secret.
Yeah, well, the problem with our plan is that we don't know for sure that Roki's going to choose the Padres, Tony. And that's a little bit of the hiccup here in our idea. We have to actually wait for him to make a decision.
We don't know anything.
And we don't.
It's really what it boils down to. I just looked at you like that, Scray, because I think you could take JP off that list. He is. He has moved on.
He has.
He's no longer with
pastures.
Us?
Yes. He changed.
Well, wait a second. Is there such a thing as greener pastures when you're with the Padre Media relations department?
From a professional standpoint.
All right.
I think he
from
wants
a
to,
professional standpoint.
He wants
okay,
to,
fair
did
enough.
He move up?
He did.
Oh, well, that's great then.
Yeah, I think he's with the Red Sox now.
He moved
really?
Up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, now we know a guy with the Red
so,
Sox.
So,
we have somebody who can turn down our guests for the Red Sox players now.
No, I will always remind JP that when I was in the parking garage one night of a Dodger game and there was a long line and he was getting cut off by every car, I said, JP, you come right in front of my car.
And so he gets you all the interviews.
Now he owes me for life.
Yeah, good luck.
So
on
shout
that.
Out to JP, man. He's moved on.
I
up
didn't know that.
To a better higher position. So
yeah, higher position.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
well,
good.
Good
that's
for
good,
JP
though.
Out there. Well, we'll see just how valuable he was to the media relations department now that they have to make do without him over there. In Padre land. Scraby, have you seen any? I mean, since today is the day, do you have any fake stuff to lay on us with Roky Sasaki?
The fake stuff got him in trouble the other day. He was putting it up.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
what'd you do? Or what happened?
I don't know.
I think you
I
just reposted. You were making an example.
Oh,
of,
yes, yes.
This
yes.
is a fake post.
Yeah.
And some people didn't get that.
Yes. No, I haven't really seen anything today. To be quite honest, I just set alerts of like Jeff Passan and AJ Casswell, local guys, to go off of my phone whenever he makes this decision, because I'm not going to keep looking at Twitter. Refreshing.
Yes, you will. You will.
You can't
help yourself.
No, I'm at this point where now you I get alerts on my phone. Why do I need to sit around and wait when I can?
You
just
have
it?
As much chance of becoming a Dolphins fan as you do of staying off Twitter.
I don't. And
you
think
can't
that's
argue
true.
That.
Yeah,
I think
do.
It's true.
Yeah,
pretty
you,
sure it's true.
You live on there. I mean, you're a lot better than you used to be in terms of.
I mean, I would admit
how
it.
You
what
handle
is,
it.
What is
but
the
you're
problem? What is the problem with admitting it? I mean, most of
well,
us spend way
true.
Too much time scrolling through social media, whether it's Twitter or IG or whatever it is.
I would. You
I mean,
know
who
what?
Doesn't? Who can't lay claim to that out there?
Guess what? I can look and see how much time I've been using
screen
my social
time.
Media.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I see that.
And
every
I
week.
Guarantee
yeah.
you, it's very low because I am not doing the social media thing. It messes with my mental
you use,
health.
But I see you use it on the computer all the time. So,
but I'm not
also,
actually using my account. I'm using the 97.3 account.
Correct me
you're
if I'm
you're still scrolling.
Yeah, I mean, correct
you're just
me
not
if I'm
scrolling
wrong.
From your phone.
Correct me if I'm
win.
Wrong. The you can't. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the show we get notifications and updates and breaking stories. A lot of times from you scrolling through social media.
And you know where that comes from sometimes? Actually, Adam, who has alerts as well, if he gets something before I do, then he'll send it to me.
All right. But you know,
Adam's really good at finding the news that I don't see.
You know you can't win, so just forget it. Not going
to
happen.
And it's funny that everybody always says, be nicer to Scraby. And
it
then
does,
Chris says, you can't
yeah,
win.
Yeah, my wife fell into
it's
that trap
absolutely
too
incredible. How many people think we should be nicer you're, to you?
You know what? You might be a little bit of a fraud. I'm just saying, somehow you have tricked these people into believing we
you are the you are
mean
the,
to you.
You are the producer version of the banana in the tailpipe. You just absolutely are.
I don't understand how. Okay. And AA, I learned when a bunch of people are telling you something that you're doing. Is true.
It's us. Are you saying it's us?
Basically, you have to look and see how many people are telling you this. You guys gaslight me every day.
Could you give us one example where we've gaslit you?
Deion Sanders.
That's
you guys basically said that he never said he was going to go to the NFL, but he did say he was never going to go to the NFL. That's gaslighting. By trying to make me believe something.
All
true.
We said is that, are you not allowed to change your mind? I think that was the only thing we said, Scrape.
You could use a little of it yourself, actually.
Gaslighting?
No, changing your mind.
Yes,
when something
you
is
could.
Presented to you that
you
is
could.
A slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
And you say, your first instinct is to say no because you don't really like to get involved in very much. You don't like people to touch you.
Yeah.
You don't like people to even get close enough to, you know.
He doesn't like anybody in his personal
nobody.
Space at all.
Nobody. And that includes Tony and I.
Tony came and sat next to me the other day, and I was like, why
no,
are
he
you
can't,
sitting
he
so close?
And I do it on purpose. I want to try to get as close to you as possible.
I will admit out there to being a bit of a hugger. Not a squeeze tight hugger, but somebody that, you know, will walk up to somebody I know and put my arm around them. Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you again. I don't think that's That's why are you laughing crazy over there?
Well, because I think that
not you. I'm asking him.
Just because of the way you said, I'm a bit of a hugger.
I can be a bit of a hugger, but I don't think I'm. Yeah, I don't go up and squeeze the daylights out of you. Right, I don't think that's appropriate.
Scraby would never allow that.
No, I've tried it before because I'm just in a general hey, how's it going mood, and you can't do it.
And I do
you cannot
this. I do, like
do
the,
it.
He's
the,
so
the
uncomfortable.
Lip shoulder thing.
So
where uncomfortable. I, like, try to get my
you
hand
cannot
my
do it. He does not.
I don't know why
like
I'm like this.
All.
I've been like this my entire life.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But
why.
You need to change.
We can we? Talk,
I can't change.
Can we
this.
Talk
it's
about some
late.
Other changes you need to make?
No.
What are you thinking about, Tony? Well, you can't leave the listeners hanging on that now.
You know, I just I respect Scraby's wishes.
Go for it.
Listen, we
He goes, all respect. Okay, listen, everybody.
you said go for it.
So, I mean, I won't respect it because you said go ahead. I think before the show, Chris and I were trying to get scraped a reverse course on this idea that he can't take a blind date, that Mr. Ello has been trying to, well, had tried to.
Yeah,
I think
had
that
tried.
Ship
it's
has
over
sailed.
Now. A long time ago, this young lady is off and having and enjoying her life. So.
See, she was meant to be with someone else.
Maybe not.
You never know.
You
now.
Just said she's enjoying her life.
She that, is. That doesn't but mean that she's... may not have happened. She might have been enjoying her life with you.
No, had because you... I believe in the universe. If the universe told me that I need to go meet this girl, then I would have gone to meet this,
oh,
met
no,
this
you
girl.
You wouldn't have.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't have.
There is no way.
I'd
you were
follow,
so let's, adamant let's, that you weren't going to do it.
I love
it.
When Chris tells me how I feel about something.
Well, you kind of told us how you felt before we came on.
You pretty much said you were adamant about it, so I'm just repeating that.
You were trying to avoid Chris coming in and being in your business if you did take this date and it did transpire into something else.
Can we present it like it should be presented instead
sure.
of me?
Sure, present it like it should be presented.
So
you go ahead.
The reason the that I didn't want to take this blind date, and this was years ago, everyone.
It wasn't years ago.
Maybe two. Let's
That's
say
years
year
ago.
And a half or two.
I don't know if it was quite two. But
yeah,
right.
Yeah, all right.
Go ahead.
Now I lost my... Oh.
How did it all start?
No, it all started when Chris came in and said, hey, there's this really nice girl who works in radio. She likes sports. She likes Padres. She has a dog. You should go meet her.
Sounds
and
like
I said, no.
You're leaving one quick part out. The only part you're leaving out is that my wife, she works where my wife's radio station.
Oh, yes, that's a big part.
And my wife was the one who alerted me. And I actually took a moment of time to make sure, before I said anything to Scraby, that I managed to meet this young lady just so I had a little feel for things. And, I really found her to be a nice, engaging gal. Passed so that's when I passed it on to Scraby and said, I think this is an easy one for you. You don't have to, there's no expectations.
Lay up.
There's no, requirements. But she's available and out there, and she's a, like you said, Tony, sports fan, Padre fan, dog lover.
All that.
It seemed like it was going to work out. But
checked
Scraby,
a lot of boxes.
She did. But
Emma Key says, Scraby love diaries, let's go. No, no one wants these love diaries because they're non-existent love diaries.
You didn't allow for there to be a love diary.
Well, here's why I didn't want to go on the blind date. I have in the past dated people that are intertwined with people that are in my group, in people that I know, and I don't handle that well when things end.
So you were afraid that Chris would come in on a Monday and be like, so...
Yeah, yeah. So I'll
I
just,
heard,
yeah, here, during a break, I'll be like typing up the podcast, and Chris will be like, hey, Scrib, heard you and your girl got into a fight. I'll be like, how did you hear that, Chris? Lori told me because she told Lori. Oh, by the way, you're coming over for dinner tonight. That's not happening. That is not happening.
That's how it went in your head right there?
Yes.
Well, look, if you're not willing to take a leap of faith, then you're going to probably stand on that stone for a long, long time.
Michael says she's not our Michael. She sounds way too good for screaming. Michael, my name
Michael,
is
Michael, you
K.
might be completely right about that. You might be completely right about that. All right,
Mike had a whole scenario in his head that went down.
Yeah, he did. He had this whole crazy scenario that was not even close to the truth.
I fully believe.
Yeah, what do you fully believe, Scrape?
That I was meant to be alone. Because I feel much better being alone.
No, I won't take that.
If I meet someone, then I'll go with it. But I am my life doesn't change.
I think if you tell yourself you're meant to be alone, you're putting that in your head, and that is leading you down that exact path.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
We don't want
that. And until you,
being alone.
Yeah. Until you open your mind and your heart to the opportunity of spending time with somebody else, I don't think you can even give yourself a chance.
Well, I do, you know, from time to time meet up with people, but it's not like a something that's weighing on my mind every day.
And
like,
let me ask you,
you should make it a priority.
And how often do Tony and I bug you about that?
A lot.
No, that's not accurate.
That's not accurate.
We don't ask you at all.
Chris came in multiple times telling me, oh, she's still available.
This situation. Yeah. I'm not talking about what you actually do in your life.
We've known each other for like 6-7 years at this point. So, like, you know, I don't think a few times that he's come in and offered qualifies as he does it a lot. He's done it a few times.
One time is too many. One time is too many. I get really uncomfortable. I just don't understand. Like, this is another thing I talked to my therapist about. Like, why does it matter that I'm single? Why do people care so much?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Exactly.
But we know that deep down you're lonely sometimes, man.
Then I go play video games or I go and hang out with Lucky.
Fair enough, man.
Am I going to do?
Fair enough.
All right, our version of the Dr. Drew Pinsky and Ruth Westheimer show continues in just a moment.
I used to listen to Dr. Laura Schlesinger the time.
Dr. Laura,
as a kid.
We could mix her in there.
She was great. She always told people to stop shacking up. I listened to her with my grandma. This is why I'm in talk radio. Laura.
That term is straight out of like our mom's era right there.
That's who Dr. Laura's talking to.
Shacking up.
Can you tell there's nothing new on the Roky Sasaki situation?
We would be talking about that if it was.
All right, a little bit more on the Aztec victory last night when we come back. Also, the NFL playoffs. The weekend is ahead. The divisional round will have fun facts for the first four playoff games. And A.J. Cassavell will join us on the program to talk about the Padres. And, you know, a couple of things I think would be interesting. But one, where would the Padres go if Sasaki doesn't choose the Padres? So we'll get his thoughts on that and some other subjects. Stick around, Gwynn and Chris, and the lonely guy on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2:21 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, and the lonely guy.
Is this my name?
There was a movie out way back when.
Was it about me?
It was called The Lonely Guy. Steve Martin was star of that.
Yes.
The funniest scene I remember is when he went to some nice restaurant, obviously alone, for dinner, and somehow a spotlight came on in the restaurant and followed him all the way to his table and stayed on him the entire time.
It's really funny.
Let him know that he was a lonely guy.
Yes, he couldn't escape the fact that he was alone, and the whole movie was like that. But yeah, it was a pretty good one.
All right. No, that is good. I remember
that. Back in the day.
It was hilarious.
In terms of Padre news, I guess here's some good news, right? February 12th, February 17th. Why are those days important? Those dates important? Well, pitchers and catchers report February 12th. Full squad will be February 17th. And we're off from that point on. Padres' first game will be February 21st. And then spring training games begin. Should be...
I was going to say, this part of the year always sneaks up on me.
It comes fast.
Yeah, but why? Explain to me again why the pitchers need to be there 5 days early.
Because that's why we're there in the first place.
Because of the pitchers?
Because of the pitchers.
You guys need a position players?
They don't need as long. Okay. Position players need longer. Pitchers need longer to get themselves ready, especially the starters. You know, and so because of that, we have to be in spring training for 6 weeks.
The shade being thrown by Tony at pitchers, Chris, right now.
Yeah, I felt I could just kind of come in and start pitching. I mean, when you throw 60 miles an hour, you didn't have to, right? I didn't have to ramp my arm up too much. No, it was already
there.
It was already at its maximum velocity on day one. So. Spring training, I think, is... I mean, I'm not going to compare it to the NFL where they have exhibition games solely so the owners can just make free money.
Yeah, because you're not getting taxed like that.
Yeah, remember in exhibition games, players do not get paid.
Yeah.
And owners still fill up stadiums. And even if they don't fill them up, you buy the tickets because it's part of your season ticket package. It's one of the great... honestly, hoaxes or whatever you want to call it in sports is the NFL exhibition season. But spring training, there is something to it. And all the games, I think, are more fun for the fans because it's a relaxing attitude. You can get a little closer to people.
That's very much important, right? Yeah. I mean, yes, these guys use this time, obviously, to get themselves ready for the regular season. But it's the one time a year that you probably get the closest. You have access to these guys in a way that you don't during a regular season, right? You show up to Petco Park, you're in the stands, and that's probably as close as you're going to get. You're going to have to find like a railing where you can kind of lean over. Spring training, they allow you, because of how it's set up, you're kind of allowed to kind of move along the facility, and you get a lot closer, and it's a little more intimate setting. And so, yes, you know, I was joking that the pitchers take forever, and that's why we got to be out there, but it's also a really good time. A lot of people you run into, their memories come from, you know, going to spring training and being able to get close.
I know your dad's favorite memory was walking from the field to the locker room in Yuma because he couldn't make it there without getting tackled by at least 15 fans every time he did it.
Right, and that's one of the positives that I think gets overlooked about spring training. But nonetheless, it is coming just right around the corner, less than a month. Away before
what was the dates again?
February 12th.
Really?
Pitchers
is
and catchers.
Is that earlier than ever before?
That's about where it normally is.
Is it really?
Last year it was the Monday right after the Super Bowl. Like the next... Or actually, no, they reported on the Super Bowl day.
This is the week... I think this is the week after Super Bowl, right? February 12th?
Yeah, I think so, because they had to go to Korea, so they had to start early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
we won't be let off the hook this year. We will be in Peoria the whole time this year. You don't get a early exit as we did last year going to Korea.
Last year was messed up for, like, you guys, I thought. Because it took you out of your normal routine.
Because we went and played two regular season games.
Flew
and then came
over
back,
there, you flew back.
Back to spring training games after that.
That was odd for everybody, but it was a strange beginning last year.
I mean, the
year.
Dodgers are doing that again, and the Cubs. I mean, Cubs have to deal with two extra time zones on the way back.
Dodgers may be playing there every year from here on out, as long as they have Ohtani on the roster.
It's just part of the deal at this point.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Free agent. Ha-Sung Kim, haven't heard that name in a while. It's probably, some might not even remember that he actually was hurt when this thing was all said and done. And even through spring training, through the free agency process, it sounds like he's not going to be ready for opening day. He underwent surgery late in the season, if you remember. He's expected to miss the beginning of 2025 or the start of 2025, according to Paul Morosi. Fox
and MLB.
Fox and MLB.
MLB
JP Morosi. He was the one, I mean, I'm not trying to call him out, but he was the one who reported the Shark Tank guy flying to Toronto.
The tail light? Yeah.
He came on and he said,
and he admitted he owned it. Because he's a really great guy. He's a great guy and a great reporter. But he got duped on that one. So
Robert Hirschbeck, hey everybody.
It's still one of the funniest, you know, pictures in your mind of how that must have looked when they opened up the door of that plane and the stairs spilled out and the cameras went on and the lights and Robert Hershkovitz.
Now, Padres did have a minor league signing. A minor league deal, I should say. J.B. Wendelken agreed to a minor league deal with the Padres. He'll return to affiliate ball after two seasons in Japan. I'm trying to remember where did I see him. Was he a Diamondback?
He was a Diamondback.
That's where I remember seeing him. Yes. Yeah. So Padres gave him will give him an opportunity. 31-year-old turned in excellent results over a pair of years with Yokohama Dene Bay Stars. Wendelken put up a 1.67 earned run average across 86 innings in the MPB. And he struck out 22.2% of batters faced against an 8.8 walk ratio.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
The walk ratio sounds a tad high.
Tad high.
But Padres have had good luck finding these guys for their bullpen. They really have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see if that one works out.
One last thing before we get to break. They have released the first half of Sunday Night Baseball. Any guesses on how many times the Padres will play?
I know they're at least one because they're in the first one.
They're going to be playing three, and two of them are at home.
Oh, that! Wow.
I know,
that's amazing.
Right?
Amazing. Yes, you did. Yes, the Padres will play the first Sunday night game against the Atlanta Braves at home. They will play the Astros April 20th, which isn't that much later, almost about a month later. They'll be on the road, and then they'll play July 6th at home against the Texas Rangers Sunday Night Baseball. In San Diego. Back in San Diego again.
I mean, they're kicking off the season in San Diego.
Kicking it off.
Yes. Surprised the Dodgers aren't kicking them off.
So the Braves is the first opponent of the year.
Yes. First four-game series. The first series of four-game series.
I feel like we played the Braves early last 3 years. Nonetheless, let's get to break.
The Padres go to Atlanta late.
It's better to play the Braves later in the season because there's a much better chance Acuna will be hurt by then.
Yowzers.
Oh, man!
And also, there's a much better chance that we're going to get rain.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll be flying, have to do one of those stay-all-night joints like we had a couple years ago. Yeah, all right, let's get to break. Mm-hmm. On the other side, AJ Cassaville joins us. We'll talk a little bit more Padre baseball. When we return, more Gwynn and Chris.
All right, 2:35 is the time. Welcome back. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, AJ Cassaville, MLB.com, Padres, the latest. And I'm interested to hear what he'll say. You know, because, I mean, we're all so hopeful that Sasaki's going to sign here, but there's still a chance, probably at least 50%, that he doesn't.
I'm just as interested in how he's feeling after Penn State goes down. That definitely has to be something we ask.
You're going to bring that up?
I definitely will.
Oh, it's funny because I thought about him the other night when it looked like they were going to win.
I did too.
And I was thinking, boy, I bet you somewhere AJ Cassaville's excited.
He was probably, he could taste that victory.
Yeah.
Snatched.
A little bit, yeah. The Monday night.
Chris, you're going to have to talk to him about your hatred for Penn State.
I think.
Hatred? No, it's more James Franklin. And he may share that. I don't know. He's a Penn State fan. But he may share that same dislike for James Franklin. I can't like a guy.
What is it about James Franklin
What got him on my radar was many years ago when they were up 57-0, and the other guy on the whoever they were playing lined up a 40-yard field goal with 6 seconds to go in the game, and James Franklin called timeout to ice the guy. And I'm like, really?
That's kind of funny.
And did he end up missing it?
Yes, he missed the field goal, and you know, and James Franklin tried to give it the old, we didn't have the proper personnel on the field.
Maybe
line.
He wanted to shut out.
I mean, come on.
Would you have respected if he was like, listen, we didn't want to give up any points. Sorry.
I just think that's absurd. I just think somebody that thinks that way doesn't think the way I think. And I'm not saying to give him the field goal.
What would you have done? Would you have just let the play happen?
Yeah, let it happen. Come on. It's 57-0.
Scrape, your camera fell.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
I must have made a strong point there.
The camera
bailed out on us.
They're like, man, your James Franklin hatred is based on nothing.
And there's a couple of other James Franklin. Now, the one this year where he was piling on the score at the end of some game.
With the twos and threes or something like that.
Whatever they were doing. And then he I think, correctly was on this one. He said, I was playing my fifth stringers. I got to let him play.
Right.
That one I gave him a pass on. But I'm not. We'll see if AJ's a James Franklin
over
fan.
Here. What's going on, buddy?
Somehow my camera fell, but it turned my picture upside down. I'm literally upside down.
Is he upside down?
Right,
is this. He upside down, Chris?
I have no idea.
He's completely upside down.
I don't know how this happened.
Let's keep it like that. I think that's a good idea. Look for you.
This is where I live, in the upside down.
It's a good look for you.
That's hilarious.
Yes, he's completely upside down. So now you're right side up.
It's back.
Oh. I thought you turned the camera upside down.
That would have been fun to see you upside down for the rest of the show.
Sorry, I missed that.
It's okay.
All right, you guys got to lean forward or I got to lean back. My wife is big on this.
Why?
Your head's too big in the YouTube chat.
Yeah, you got back. Your camera's too close.
Well, Lori doesn't understand. Like, we all have different
setups. Distances,
distances from our camera.
Yes, but Lori, is this a big thing for her? So I got to work on
back,
stuff
you
like
got
that.
Got back up, dude, brother.
I'm going to have to do the show from back here. I don't think I can be heard from back there.
Poor, who was it? I was talking about Justin Verlander last night, and
that was funny.
Right.
Repeat that story, because I didn't get it when it happened yesterday, the Justin Verlander story.
Yeah, that was funny.
He was doing a Zoom.
Yes.
And instead of his name on the screen, it said Kate Upton.
Yes.
His wife.
Yes.
Nobody mentioned it except for some random media kid.
It was some young media kid
who had not muted himself.
Yes.
Who said, look what it says under Justin Verlander's name. It says Kate Upton.
He was so excited. Look what it says under his name.
Right. And everybody could hear him. And then the Giants PR guy ducked in and said, let's try to mute our microphone, shall we?
The funny part was you could almost feel my man who said, look what her name is, go, oh my God.
Because in Zoom,
he just went quiet.
When your voice takes over,
your picture pops up.
And so it popped up his picture for everyone to see who was talking. And Buster Posey was giving like his introductory statement, and he's like, look who his name is. So Justin Verlander put Justin Verlander in parentheses, not Kate, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, I thought Justin.
It was a mess, but it was a funny mess.
Yes,
so.
It was.
All right, AJ Cassavell joins us here just a couple of minutes. 3 o'clock hour. We'll head into our daily gambit. We also have a sports court coming for you. 4 o'clock hour, Chris versus the fans. We'll have our fun facts for the upcoming weekend playoff games and the Big Five. 5 o'clock hour today, we turn the spotlight on high school sports. Our report, Michael Flix will join us on the latest. Did a good game last night, guys. Congrats to the kids at Maranatha High who survived a last-second three attempt to beat Bishops. The Maranatha Christian coach, did not know until I got there, was a guy named Brooks Barnhard. Tony, I don't know that you'd remember. When did you go to state? What years?
2000.
Okay, so you were after
him.
Brooks Barnhard was an all West Coast Conference forward back in the mid 90s for USD. And I didn't know he was that
head
was
coach,
him
right.
until he introduced himself before the game. And then after the game, I was like, I kind of know that name. So,
Did you go to him and be like, hey, man?
No.
I kind of know your name.
No, I didn't think of it till I was driving home. I was too focused on the job at hand, Tony.
How'd the job at hand go?
Yeah. Job at hand, I thought I was on point last night.
Nice.
Now, it might be up to Brooks Barnhart to dispute that. But or the actually, even better yet, the Bishops coach who lost the game. But I thought I was on point last night. Felt good. All right, we got AJ. Where are we at?
Just 1 second.
Oh, 1 second, he says.
He's getting him on the line as we speak, it looks like.
I got you. All right, so now he's ready. All right, AJ Cassavell, always great to have him on the show. It's too late. The statute of limitations has run out on us wishing you a happy new year, AJ, so we can't do that on January 15th, but it is great to have you on the show. How are you? And Tony wants to know how you're feeling after the Nittany Lions game.
Oh, we had to bring that up. I was going to wish you guys a happy new year.
You were.
Even though limitations had run out, but not anymore, not after that.
Not anymore after that, yeah. And I noticed how I blame Tony for it, so.
Yeah, he knows who it came from.
He knows it came from you, right.
Yeah. It was rough, but you know what? It was pretty impressive season, and if you had told me they'd be in the last four.
Yeah.
I think pretty much every Penn State fan would have taken that. Just a brutal way to end it, but that game was pretty incredible, and yeah, now it's either the Buckeyes win, which I don't think any Penn State fan wants, or Notre Dame wins, and then we spend the rest of our lives wondering what could have been, because I think they probably, maybe not should have won that game, but definitely could have won that game.
They sure could, and I don't know, does it make you, like, how does it make you feel to know that I think I was in Reno, Nevada that night or somewhere, and I was honestly, you popped into my head when they took the lead in the fourth quarter. Is that weird that you're kind of now you're so closely associated with Penn State that I thought, boy, I bet you AJ's happy somewhere right now. So,
well, I was sorry happy, I didn't hold and then on. I wasn't.
It was short-lived.
And then the last Penn State question before we get to more important matters, are you a James Franklin guy?
That is a loaded question. We have more important matters to get to. But I think James Franklin is a good coach. I think he made progress this year. I think some of the games, the Ohio State game was weird, but like his big game snafus in the past have kind of been some weird decision making. In the Oregon and the Notre Dame game, they just kind of lost those games. And
they did.
They were close games that went the wrong way. I think he got more aggressive this year. I think, as with any coach or any player in any sport, you can get better over time. And so I think there's reasons for optimism going forward. Good recruiter. I guess I would, among Penn State fans, I would put myself in the pro James Franklin crowd while also acknowledging his pretty obvious faults in big games.
All right, then.
All right, AJ, let's talk some
baseball.
Let's
get to some important thing. Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about the good stuff. Obviously, the Padres at least appear to be, you know, the final three, final two, depending on who you ask for Roky Sasaki. First of all, are those videos real, do you think? You confirm?
They look pretty real.
Okay.
I mean, we're and it makes sense too. Like you want to kind of get your feet under yourself in a new place and kind of understand what it might be like. So it seems that way. It'll be an interesting next, I guess, week or so. Just kind of waiting on the news. It's all in his hands now.
How big of a piece is this for the Padres, considering to this point, and this I'll reference last offseason because the Padres did make a lot of noise during the actual free agent period. A lot of it came after spring training started. I preface that by saying, you know, where do you think that piece, how big do you think the Roky piece is for this year's free agency?
Yeah, I think it's been said before, it's massive for the Padres, probably more so than all 29 other teams, because you look at the roster they've built and the contending pieces that they have and the window that they have, and like, this should be a team that should be competitive, but it has pretty major holes, one of which is in the starting rotation.
Yeah.
And that rotation question mark is for next season, and it's for beyond that, because you have a couple guys that are getting older, and Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove, and a couple guys that are free agents and Dylan Cease and Michael King. So you're looking for the short-term answer and the long-term answer. And here's this guy that you're going to get on a rookie salary worth only whatever international bonus pool money you want to pay him. And like, it's kind of the perfect fit for what the Padres need. And now they're a finalist. On top of that, they're a finalist going up against the arch rival Dodgers. So it's something of a zero-sum game in the National League West. And I mean, the Dodgers could use Roky Sasaki because any rotation could, but the Padres need Roky Sasaki more than any other team.
100% agree. AJ Cassavell is with us from MLB.com. When it's all said and done, AJ, and maybe what decision he makes will answer this question, but what do you think will be the winning reason? What do you think is going to win out in the end as opposed, you know, that's going to make his decision for him? What part of it do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because he's a relatively private guy, so I don't know that we know that answer until he makes his decision.
Yeah.
I think it's already pretty clear that he's not necessarily the type of guy that, the Yankees aren't a finalist, the Mets aren't a finalist. He's not a guy that needs that big market. Obviously, the Dodgers are a finalist, and they represent that. But He's coming to the big leagues at age 23, when if he had waited a couple of seasons, he could have gone in on whatever free agent contract he needed. He's doing it out of a personal goal, a personal dream of his to be in the big leagues. So I don't think his reasons are necessarily motivated by some guys we've seen in the past hit free agency, particularly guys that have come in have been posted after they turn 25 and could make a regular kind of free agent contract. I think it's just kind of wait and see. Obviously, this is a very ambitious and driven guy in terms of what he wants to accomplish. He's wanted to be in the big leagues for a long time, and I'm assuming that he doesn't once he gets to the big leagues, like, he wants to make a name for himself. And so pitching development, obviously a big one. I think the Padres can lay claim to some pretty good influences under Ruben Niebla. And one thing that I've kind of touched on a few times is that they've taken some guys who have had their workloads kind of monitored. Now, granted, Michael King, Seth Lugo, those kind of guys were coming from the bullpen, but Roky Sasaki's a 23-year-old breaking into the big leagues, and the Padres have handled guys who maybe need to be eased along into that before, and they've got a track record there of getting guys in the pitching lab and kind of understanding where they need to go and what kind of measurables they can be checking on throughout the season. So I think it'll be wherever he feels like he can achieve the greatness that he clearly wants to achieve. I think there's a lot to be said for what he's doing now, coming to the big leagues now, and trying to make it when he could have waited a couple more years and made significantly more money.
Our favorite, A.J. Cassaville, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And A.J., as we start looking at this roster and you start trying to, as best we can, piece it together, Jackson Merrill comes on the scene as a position player last year. The rest is history. Given that the bullpen is going to lose some arms, may trade some others, is there a young guy that could come in and maybe fill one of those spots for the Padres during the regular season? I mean, we saw some guys come up last year and have some success. Do you think that'll be a part of the Padres' plan as they move forward?
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job with those guys, to the point where I feel like they'll feel okay if they're bullpen. They're not bringing back Tanner Scott. Like, he's going elsewhere, and even if they look to move a Robert Suarez, like, I think that's one of the reasons why you look at some of the guys that are tradable. He's one of those guys, because I think they might feel pretty comfortable. Now, granted, he's the back end closer that's done it before, but with Jason Adam and Jeremiah Estrada, like, you feel pretty good about what you've got in that bullpen. So, I think Sean Reynolds, Alec Jacob, those kind of guys can be harnessed. The Padres have proven that those guys can be out getters. It'll be interesting to see what they do with a guy like Adrian Morejon, because they do need help in the rotation, and he has been kind of mused about as like a guy who could be a weapon as a starter, but he already is a weapon as a left-handed reliever, and they don't really have a front line one of those in their bullpen of anyone they have. He's the kind of guy that you would expect to be able to take that step for being a lockdown lefty at the back end. So I'm very curious to see kind of where they go in spring training with him. But they've got a pretty proven track record in terms of developing guys in the bullpen, where some of those young guys I think could come in and make an impact and kind of fill out what the Padres, if they need to make a trade, or if they don't make the signing that you kind of would hope they make, if that's the area where they lay off a little bit, I think you probably feel okay about it.
AJ, I mean, this is a question that I don't want to ask, but I have to. I mean, if Sasaki chooses the Dodgers, where would the Padres go from there? I mean, because we all feel like it's not that all their eggs are in one basket, but the fan base especially seems to feel like this is kind of an all or nothing decision. So what do they do if they come up empty?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question that I know the Padres hope they don't have to answer, but they should probably be planning for the possibility, because it is a possibility. I think they probably look to the trade market. One of those guys, the question I have is does having Roky Sasaki change any of your planning in terms of who you would trade? Like, is Dylan Cease less available because now you don't have that arm in the rotation, but you still need to kind of solidify things for the long term, and your chances of locking him up long term are not great, at least going into this season. It seems poised to hit free agency. And so I think they need to go out and find ways to acquire starters. They found a creative way, obviously, last year, trading Juan Soto to get Michael King and then a couple other guys who were helpful in Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito. They don't have a Juan Soto to trade, but they do have a couple guys who are on the final year of their contract who get you maybe intriguing younger guys with more control to fill that out. And then, I mean, this lineup, I keep looking at that kind of what their offense is, and it needs a couple bats. I know we say they need a left fielder to fill in for Jurickson Profar or potentially be Jurickson Profar. There's other guys that need to be replaced as well. Like, the part of this team that was so productive last season was its depth and its ability to fill in when guys got hurt. And the bench, for me, is a pretty big question mark. The DH spot, the question mark. So there's a lot to get done. I think that's true whether or not they have Roki Sasaki. I think they need to plan. I mean, they need to plan regardless, whether they get him or not. There's a lot to get done. I don't think his addition impacts too much of your thinking, but it certainly impacts the way you feel about the way this offseason goes.
AJ, thanks for the insight, as always. How's fatherhood treating you? Now, where are you up to now? About almost a year?
Not quite a year.
Not quite.
Yeah. Opening day will be a year. So that's
see? All right.
Getting close.
Yeah, opening
good
day
for you,
birthday.
AJ. Good for you, my man. Well, thanks for coming on the show. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you, AJ.
Look forward to seeing you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, there he goes, AJ Cassavale from MLB.com. The latest. I mean, he's right. If the Padres have to be thinking what Plan B is. They have no choice but to do that.
They have no doubt that they have a Plan B.
I'm sure
they
do.
Whether you like the Plan B will be another question.
Yeah, the fans are going to be, well, all right, we've gone through it. Let's just think positively. Gwen and Chris comes back. Hour number two kicks off Daily Gambit. So that's where we'll go when we return, I guess. Okay.